All right, hey guys, here's Sean G, the stinkiest of the stinky set.
Okay, you better run that back. You better run that back, bro.
You can't do that on this?
You gotta start from the beginning.
I'm just joking,
man.
Around, bro. You can't do that on this?
Jeez, bro. What an introduction.
Okay, stand
bro.
Deep. Stand deep here. There we go with the sports section of the Sean G podcast. So let's get right into it. Stand deep. What do you think, bro?
First
Lamar
of all.
Lamar Jackson. Go ahead.
Who, Lamar? What do you want to know?
So
man?
let's talk about a little bit of football. Let's start off with some football, okay? So let's talk about what are we week? What week is it?
Week 12.
Week 12. Week 12 in the NFL. What's popping?
The Baltimore Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl, man. You heard it here first.
You think so?
This isn't even like Thanksgiving Monday night promo. This
Why is
Fox. He's one of a kind, man. Head coaches in the league are tripping. Nobody knows how to stop him. He's unreal, man. He's playing out of control.
Is Baltimore in the New England conference?
I have no idea.
Because if they're going to go up against New England, right, they're done. They're done.
So I firmly believe defense wins championships. So I'm kind of impartial towards like the way San Francisco's balling right now. They smashed the shit out of Green Bay. You know, Green Bay's already a little banged up. Their O-line's not the greatest.
Speaking of which, fucking Green Bay got slapped up last night.
Slapped. But they also lost their right tackle, to be fair, too, or their left tackle, Bulaga. I forget who that guy was. So, that's where Nick Bosa plays, too, and he just harassed him the rest of the game. But I don't know, man. Yo, to beat a team like, for example, Patriots, you need to be able to know how to run the ball and pass rush. That's exactly all they do. That's their identity, San Francisco's. So I think they have a really good chance.
San Francisco or Baltimore? Who are we talking right now?
I'm talking about San Francisco. But Baltimore, I'll be honest with you. San Francisco
ain't doing shit. I'm not even worried about San Fran.
Garoppolo's
right
balling too, man. He's proving
he can
throw
a
ball.
Bro, their offense is kind of flop.
Why?
Because, bro, they're like Green Bay's defense, everybody's saying Green Bay's defense is so good. It's all right.
Green Bay's defense? Not
it's
really.
Ari,
it's okay.
It's Ari.
Their second line is good. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, they can get some tackles.
Okay, but at the end of the day, right? Last night, they got slapped up. But I feel like just to beat San Fran, all you really got to do is have an O-line that can guard your quarterback, that can, you know, protect your quarterback.
That's not easy to do, man. This whole team was drafted
okay,
and
built.
Okay,
if you got a mobile quarterback, against San Fran.
That's the thing.
No problemo.
So I think San Francisco, I'm trying to look this up, both of them and Baltimore are not in the same division or same conferences. So I think that's a very high likelihood you'll see them both in the Super Bowl. This is some week 12, Monday, November 25th, sorry.
Action.
Hot ass prediction right here.
So today's actually Monday night. So the Monday nighter's on. Last
Happy
night.
Thanksgiving, yo, to all the Americans listening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Let's just recap a little bit of what happened. So Dallas covered against the Pats, +6. Pats still won the game.
Yeah.
Seattle's looking good, brother. Seattle's actually my pick to win the Super Bowl, straight up.
I thought they would have done more against Philly, to be fair.
Dude, Philly's still good, man.
They had some turnovers, though. I felt like they should have won by a bigger margin.
Philly?
No, sorry, Seattle. I think Seattle should have won by a bigger margin. Than they really did. It kind of felt like a little closer than I thought it would be. And I'm not referring to, obviously, Vegas' spread. I don't know what that would have been, 4 or 5, maybe.
Nah, but like at the end of the day, the win is what matters. And Seattle plays everybody tight. You know that. Seattle always plays everyone tight.
That's
right? True. So, but what about the love? Like, last week was week 11?
Before we go into whatever you want to talk about next, plus they didn't have Jadeveon Clowney, yo. So that was kind of impressive.
Oh, they didn't have Jadeveon?
He didn't play. He was injured. Shit. He sat on the sideline.
But Seattle always plays everybody tight anyways. Yeah. It's always like 3-point games, 4-point games, 7-point games. It's always tight.
Yeah.
And so what do you think? So we're hot off Baltimore. Who did Baltimore play last week? Houston. And they smacked the shit out of Houston.
H-Town. Yep.
But then what happened with, what about the Ingram? What about the press conference after? What do you think about that?
I thought that was the craziest shit ever, man. We kind of briefly talked about this, but yeah, man, I thought you only do something like that when you're absolutely confident that your team's going to go places.
So you mean Ingram?
Ingram is gassed up. He's so happy to be on this team, and he's so happy to be playing with Lamar Jackson. You can tell a man with that type of conviction wholeheartedly believes he deserves MVP, and he also believes they're going to get pretty far in the playoffs. He's expecting Lamar Jackson to carry the weight.
Oh, 100%, but like, you see the team rallying behind him, right?
Absolutely.
Which is putting them on a whole next level.
And they're having fun.
Yeah, they're having fun.
You don't do that unless you're having
definitely
fun.
Definitely, and Ingram was a fucking... How terrifying was he doing that?
you thought so, not me. I thought it was awesome. He's being a little comical, right? He's having fun with it.
Okay, so...
But yeah, man, he did look like he's... Wasn't joking at the same time.
So moving on to the... So we're Lamar Jackson, who's going to win the MVP? So who are the candidates right now? Who we got going?
I'll be honest, I hate making like predictions like this because players can get injured, this and that. I'll tell you right now, from the beginning of the season, my pick this year was Pat Mahomes. Probably like most people.
So Pat Mahomes ain't winning no MVP.
He got hurt a little bit, man. That kiboshed that whole plan. CMC look how good CMC looked early on. He was running away with it.
Good. CMC still looks
good. Nah, but I don't see them running away with it now. But the way Lamar Jackson is playing, the script is different, man. The storytelling is different. Like, Lamar Jackson is going to take him to the playoffs. I don't know how far Carolina is going to take CMC, or CMC is going to take Carolina.
No, but.
That makes a difference, man.
Who won MVP last year? Mahomes, right?
Mahomes split it with Brady. They did, like, a co-MVP.
Okay. But, like, it's not really, like... Like, the playoffs aren't really included in the MVP, right?
It's not supposed to be, but like the storyline that's involved in like your success and your come up very much plays a factor into the media and how they portray who wins an MVP. Like take LeBron for example. I don't want to switch sports or nothing, but you know, LeBron's a guy who dominates every single year. After a while, you get sick and tired of giving the award to the same guy because it's normalcy now. Now he performs at a top tier level. You don't expect anything less. It's nothing but greatness. But then when you see a guy like Steph Curry shoot the lights out, set three-point records, he's going to win it. He didn't have a bad year that year. LeBron had a great year. Even when James Harden won it, LeBron had a great year. And when Russell Westbrook won it, LeBron had a wicked fucking year.
No, okay. Okay, let's get back. We got, who's up in it? Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson, Seattle. I'd say CMC is probably up there too.
CMC?
Yeah.
And probably Russell Wilson.
I'll be honest, you know who needs to be a part of that conversation who kind of isn't? Dalvin Cook.
Come on.
Dalvin Cook is having a stellar year on the fucking road, man. And when I mean on the road, I mean like
he ain't no CMC.
He knows how to
man.
Put his fucking wheels to the.
He ain't no CMC. So between those three candidates we got going, Lamar, Russell Wilson, and CMC. Who you got, Lamar?
If Lamar doesn't get injured, Lamar.
Okay, I got Russell Wilson.
You're also a Seattle fan.
No, but I also put a future on Seattle to win the Super Bowl this year.
That's also another reason, but I didn't want to say
fucking,
that.
But they're fucking 9-2 this year, Seattle.
They're 9-2.
Seattle's looking good.
Russ West is looking good. His interception ratio is dirty low.
That's why I need San Fran to
He's doing
lose.
Very good.
That's so Seattle, because they're in the same thing.
No wonder you don't like that D-line. Right.
Okay. So, all right. So,
so much for being impartial, eh?
So you think that... Basically, tonight, the Monday Nighter is Baltimore and the Rams, and you think Baltimore is going to smash the Rams, right?
I think Baltimore is going to walk right through the Rams. Yeah. I think they're going to get to him a couple times because Aaron Donald's a beast. And, yo, he's athletic for a big man. He'll break that line. He'll get to him. But I think Lamar can – we'll see, actually. We'll see if he can adapt very quickly. I think he's got it in.
You put anything down this weekend?
Absolutely not.
No, you didn't do anything, yeah? No.
This was like a tough week.
I thought it was pretty easy, man. Seattle on Dallas, bang bang, +6 on Dallas. Seattle was
that's
plus
different.
One.
You like covering spreads and stuff. I'm not into that, right?
Yeah.
But like, if you look at some teams from this week, like I felt like Detroit should have spanked Washington. Washington came away with a win. Who else do I consider was an upset?
There was Oakland. Oakland got smashed.
Oakland got killed by the Jets. And yo, by the way, they're heavy trying to get into the playoffs in the wild card spot, competing against Kansas City. So to them, it was a must-win game, in my opinion. They couldn't afford to lose that, and they did. Josh Jacobs did dick all. New York Jets defense is pretty good. CJ Mosley, these guys can tackle. Still, I expected them to win that game.
But the Jets are nowhere near the playoffs, right?
Nowhere near. Darnold's still seeing ghosts from the Patriots fucking spanking.
But... See, this is what's so fucked up about football. Like, the Chiefs might not even make the playoffs this year.
Really?
If you think about it.
I don't know their standings well enough.
Oakland is battling with KC.
Yeah. It's a lot tighter.
For that last spot.
Yo, but a team that's been banged up with injuries. Like, they got kind of old man Sammy Watkins. He's all right. He can still run fast, but, like, he's kind of hurt. Their running back situation, I'll be honest, they didn't really recover from getting rid of Kareem Hunt. They were running a committee. Andy Reid doesn't really like even running a committee. He did that once in his entire career when he was coaching at Philadelphia Eagles. So
no, but even when they didn't have Mahomes, they didn't have Mahomes for what, two games? They still, I think one of those.
Yeah,
games.
That Matt Moore guy pulled off one win. I don't know what else. There was a game against, I think, the Vikings that they lost to that they should have probably won. But I don't know, man. See, that's the thing. You can't rule KC out because let's assume Pat Mahomes came back a little prematurely. He's not fully healthy. I expect him to kick it into gear real soon, just in time for the playoffs. See, now is a little interesting period, man. It's like the witching hour in football between the last final weeks.
Now some of the teams are going to start to separate themselves in the record, right?
Yeah, you start seeing some odd shit happen. Some teams that aren't supposed to win. You also catch on to other people's teams' schemes and stuff. This is where coaching takes over.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, let me see what Lamar Jackson has done all year. I need to figure out how to stop that. Yo, by the way, Wade Phillips, one of the hottest defensive coordinators in the fucking game.
He's
the LA Rams defensive coordinator. So, honestly, if anyone has a chance of like slowing this guy the fuck down, we're about to find out right now. And if they don't, Baltimore goes to the Super Bowl. Some bold ass shit.
Baltimore's not going to the Super Bowl, and that's not bold as well. They're fucking what, 9-2 or some shit like that.
Yeah, but still, they're inexperienced, man. Marquise Hollywood Brown.
But last year they were in the playoffs too.
Who, Baltimore? Yeah, that's fine. But what I mean is, they're just overall like they're a newly assembled team. They're not a team that has a foul amount of chemistry together. Like they made look at Marcus Peters. He's bawling after picking him up. He's been killing it.
Who picked up Marcus Peters?
Baltimore Ravens did, from LA Rams. They took Marcus Peters. Shit. He's been getting like a pick a game ever since they picked him up. But still, just generally, their team's not that like...
But the Rams got the other guy.
Jalen Ramsey. I didn't get that. They picked up Jalen Ramsey. He's a stud. Then they get rid of Marcus Peters and they get rid of Aqib Talib.
They need a new quarter. I don't like Goff. Goff's not my guy still.
I was a Goff fan, man, last year, taking him to the Super Bowl.
He's not that good, bro. Straight up and down.
Last year, he was balling. I don't know what happened.
But that's the thing in the NFL. Everybody can have 1 year where they're
balling. Okay, so let me ask you a bigger question. How much of this is Todd Gurley's fault? Because he's not the same player he used to be.
Yeah, but they got that other guy too. Who's that other guy?
He wasn't even a first-round draft pick in fantasy this year.
Yo, but
and some people took him thinking he should be because of his prior experience and what he's done. But you look at standard rankings going into a draft, Todd Gurley wasn't supposed to go in the first round. Okay, in most 12-team leagues.
Okay, so you know what? Here's my theory about the NFL, right? Okay? So, basically, like, the LA Rams, right?
Yeah.
We don't really know what they are. They had one lucky year. They went to the Super Bowl.
That's what happens when you assemble a team from free agents, man. You're buying teams and you're buying players and you're trying to assemble an identity.
But, so exactly, that's what I'm talking about. So we don't really know if Goff is good or he just had one really good year.
At this point, I don't even know if Sean McVay is good.
Yeah, exactly.
They're considering him the wonder kid.
Look at Kansas City. Look at it's like in the NFL, you have a different team go to the Super Bowl almost every single year.
I love that about the sport.
That's what I love about the sport too. We had Philly. We had LA last year. We had Philly. We had... Who else do we have?
Falcons not too long ago.
The Falcons.
Even Carolina when they win. Denver. Denver won that year.
Denver. All these new teams. And then what will happen is they trick you. This is why football is so messed up. They trick you. They go to the Super Bowl. They win or lose or whatever it is. And you think, oh my God. What the only teams to go to the Super Bowl and stay at that level in the last, like, let's say 10 years.
Obby.
The Pats.
Obby. Yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Seattle went to the Super Bowl, what, twice in a year? Two times? Back to back, remember?
Yeah.
And they won it and then they lost it, right?
Pats.
But what I'm saying is they were proven, like they were shown and proved, right? It wasn't they went to the Super Bowl 1 year, not even. Carolina's never recovered from making the Super Bowl.
Cam Newton's not the same player he was.
Cam Newton sucks.
They're not even bringing him back on. They're getting rid of him.
Cam Newton sucks.
You know where he might go?
Chicago. I heard Chicago.
I hear rumors of Chi-Town too. Trubisky sucks, obviously.
Trubisky sucks too.
But I don't know. I think you give up on Cam. I think he's trying to become a pocket passer, and I don't think he's that.
Cam sucks. Cam.
His release is not quick enough.
But
he's not a pocket
passer. That's the thing with Cam. That's football. So now he went to the Super Bowl, and you don't know. Was that luck? Was that really his skill? Was that really. You don't know. This is my theory on football. So now, even betting wise, you're always terrified of that team. Because you know they have that potential to do what they did once, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're actually a good team. They might have just got lucky. Look at Philly. Philly sucks this year. Carson Wentz was supposed to be a stud this year. Remember that?
Wow, they're super banged up too, though. But Wentz is a risk taker.
The receivers can't make fucking catches, passes. Yeah, their defense is getting beat up. Like their defense was supposed to beefed up like so good this year. All this shit, and they suck.
They're B+.
Carolina was supposed to be good this year. Cam Newton went down, and now the backup's taking over, and he's pretty damn good.
He's all right. It seems right. He's having
Atlanta's great trash. Atlanta's straight trash.
Yeah, they need a new running back.
Okay, and then who went to the LA?
Actually,
trash.
Their O-line was surprisingly trash this year.
LA's 6-4, and they don't make the playoffs. Watch. They don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, which think which LA? Their division. Which LA? Chargers or Rams?
What?
Chargers or Rams? Which LA? Who?
The Rams. The Rams.
Yeah.
Fuck the Chargers, man. The Chargers every year, they're just like, Chargers got to get rid of Phillip Rivers, straight up. Phillip Rivers, like what's happening right now in the NFL is kind of funny. You got the old kind of transitioning.
I was going to say, yeah.
Right?
Who's going to be the last man standing? It's got to be Breeze. Of the old squad, it's got to be Breeze.
Tom Brady. It's going to be Tom Brady.
You think Tom Brady's going to outlast Breeze?
It's going to fucking be Tom Brady, man. Every year we go through this. Right now, I think
you're totally right, man.
It's going to be Tom fucking Brady, man.
Yeah, he's the exception to the rule.
Drew Brees, if they lose a couple, they pull in Bridgewater, man. Even Bridgewater's trash, too.
He's going to get a new contract. Someone's going to pick him up.
Right? So, I mean, okay, that's good for football today. Let's transition on to something else.
What's up,
basketball.
Man?
Have you been paying attention to basketball?
Jeez, you know basketball. Me. I'll be honest, I haven't really been following it. It's really hard to follow with sports and shit now that I'm a working man. But
fuck you, then.
Kind of keeping up.
Suits and shit.
Kind of keeping up, man. Fuck, I get home really late every single day, man. It becomes hard to watch basketball, especially when these West Coast games are on. They run until like 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, yeah, I don't got time for this. No. But I'm keeping up with like Doncic and some of these fucking like.
Luka's a fucking machine.
He's a stud, man. This guy, honestly, and he couldn't have been at a better team, eh? Yeah. You're transitioning from one European fucking Hall of Famer now 100%. To a new European potential Hall of Famer. The way this guy's balling, man, he's crazy. Yo, they beat Houston the other day.
Yeah.
And this guy had like a 40-point performance, almost put up a triple-double, man. He's out of control.
The poor Zingara.
And Porzingis is with him.
Yeah, 100%. Like
I like what they did. They doubled down on the Europeans, and that's a part of like their whole Dallas identity. And they're going to, yeah, I think they're going to absolutely kill it, man. They totally won that trade.
With Dallas, it all goes back to Dirk Nowitzki, right?
New York messed up, man.
What do you mean?
They messed up in that trade. They get Dennis Smith is not living up to it, man. Exactly. Dallas won that trade.
Dennis Smith is trash. Okay, so what about the Raptors? So everybody was butthurt about this whole Kawhi Leonard thing. Kawhi did this to us. Kawhi did that to us.
We were just talking about this at work too, how a colleague of mine, he's looking at getting tickets to the Clippers game when they come in town. Highest ticketed price of the season.
Yeah, it's mad.
Obviously, they'll probably give him a tribute, a ring ceremony, all that. I hope they don't like go a little above and beyond.
Okay.
Like, for example, I don't know if he deserves to have his jersey retired. I don't know. I don't know if you do that for a rental.
No way.
I've heard people say like crazy shit. Like they think he deserves a statue. I wouldn't even go as far as retiring a jersey. Maybe a tribute video. Give him a nice ring ceremony. A nice little send off. That's about it. I think
love
the Bucks
Kawhi Leonard more than just as much as the other Torontonian. But we're fucking as fans. We're acting thirsty as fuck, man. Straight up. It's a little bit too thirsty for my liking, to be honest.
But yo, he could have been a game changer for us.
He could have been a game changer. What? You know how fucking good Siakam is? You know how good? Look at our cast without him. I'm not saying that we're going to go deep in the playoffs.
His development over the last 2 years has been incredible, man. He absolutely deserved Most Improved Player of the Year. And the way he's balling right now, he can go
far. Can I tell you one person on the Raptors I do take over Kawhi? If I had a choice, I take him over Kawhi.
Siakam?
No. Masai Ujiri. Because it all boils down at the end of the day to Masai Ujiri.
That's true.
So at the end of the day, if I had a choice between Masai and Kawhi, I take Masai all day.
Yo, let's rewind to the playoffs last year, right? Up against Golden State. We just won the conference championship. Nobody really feels like we have a chance, right? I remember the fucking...
The Orlando series.
The Orlando...
Are you talking about before the playoffs?
No, I'm talking about actually like before going into, the finals, the championship series,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
Everyone was like, listen, even I'll be honest, man. I'm such a realist. Even I didn't expect us to go really far. Yep. I said, you know what? If we take two games against Golden State, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. They're one of the greatest teams that were ever assembled in history. It is what it is. Two wins. I'm satisfied. But you know what I loved what Masai Ujiri did? They won the conference, the division, whatever the hell it's called. And the first thing he says, he goes, we're not satisfied. He's on the mic right then and there.
Yeah.
Absolute conviction. He goes, we're not satisfied. We want to go all the way. And you could tell his success is in creating the right culture.
Yeah.
And everybody who had done any interviews at that time, whether it was Danny Green in his own podcast, whether it was Kyle Lowry, you know what they all said? We're not satisfied. We're not satisfied. That message was embodied by the players. He knows how to create culture. You know how to create culture? You can assemble a really good team. Golden State's done that in the past with their GM. I forget his name. But strength in numbers. Like, you've got to have a mantra that you live by and you die by.
Golden State straight cheated it out. So, like, I mean...
I disagree.
They cheated that shit out.
Isn't the goal to put together the craziest team you could possibly put together?
The Durant shit was like, that was trash. Like, the fucking... The rest of that... Like, even the DeMarcus thing this year. Like, see, that's the thing with basketball, right? Like, so this is like... Now we get on, like... I gave you my NFL theory about a random team's going to the... I give you my basketball theory.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're any superstar in the NBA, fucking cheat to get your first ring. Who cares? That's what they all did. LeBron did the whole Dwayne Wade.
You call that cheating, eh?
It's 100% cheating.
Let me ask you something. Back in the days,
Durant. What did Durant do? You don't think that was trash?
Can I tell you something, man? And I'm drawing on my own experience playing sports. Obviously, never at like a pro level or even anywhere close. But you want to play with the team where you think you're going to have the most fun. And a part of having fun is winning games.
I agree with you.
So what he did is he's like, let me go to a team where I know we're going to have a lot of fucking fun spanking other teams in the league. And a part of that comes with success in championships. Unfortunately, it's not the team that you were drafted by. Man, yo, the noble days of signing with a team and thugging it out like Dirk Nowitzki, like even Dame Lillard.
Like Paul George had planned, remember that?
Even Paul Pierce, man. Like the age of being drafted and that's your identity as a player... It's over.
But here you go. There you go. They ran the cheap flex in Boston when they assembled that team.
They did. Right? They were the first to do it.
Garnett and Ray Allen.
Ray Allen, yeah.
And then LeBron did it. And then but see, this is the thing. This is the counter, like the argument to your argument, basically. Basically, after LeBron and them do it, then why don't they just stay there? Why don't they just do that for 10 years? They leave. Because now they want to prove, because it gets to them. They know what they did to get that first championship. They want to get the monkey off their back. So this is the new formula of the new players in the NBA. After, let's say, the Kevin Durant and the Ray Allen, I mean, the Kevin Garnett and the Ray Allen era. Then it was LeBron. LeBron and them did it, right?
Yeah.
Then Durant did it, right? DeMarcus tried to squeeze one out last year, too. Same flex, right? So they win one, and then what?
I'll be honest, that was the biggest cheat fail. you had Boogie trying to get like a walk in the park fucking ring.
But how terrified were you when you seen him play good one or two games?
I'll be honest, man. I've never been as crazy about Boogie as much as other players have, or other people have, just in general. That guy's like plus minus on the court is really bad. He's like a very selfish, weird player. But he puts up numbers, so it looks like he's just a stud and he's just killing it. He's liable, man. I'm not even referring to just technicals, just poor giveaways, turnovers. Like, he's a liability at times. But anyways, okay. It is what it is, man.
So you get to that, and then Durant left now, right? And so Kawhi left. Like, so, I mean, that's the new NBA that we live in, right? So above all that shit, I take Masai. Kawhi was great for the Raptors. Kawhi was like, he won us a championship. Bring fucking DeMar DeRozan, I'm starting it. Bring DeMar DeRozan back. Fuck it.
Have you seen those memes where you have like constantly, you have like, they're showing pictures of random people and they'll be like, oh, I'm telling my kids this is so-and-so. I'm telling my grandkids this is so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw a picture of DeMar DeRozan. Oh, no. I saw a picture of Kawhi Leonard and it said, I'm telling my grandkids this was DeMar DeRozan.
So basically, like, you know, he left. How did you feel about that when he left? Did it affect you? Did it bother you?
I felt bad for him.
Did it tarnish
his... I felt bad for him because I... Who, Kawhi?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking about DeMar. Kawhi leaving, I don't know, you can't blame him. And I look at it, man, I try to look things from, like, put yourself in someone else's shoes. I don't know, man, he doesn't seem like a very extroverted guy. It doesn't really seem like he cares about much other than small little things that he values in life, like maybe family and being back home, and you can't knock a guy for that.
So here's my deal with Kawhi, right? Like... He's also a player, like, let's say it was 20 years ago. I don't think he could survive.
I don't think he could either.
Because, like...
Wait, in what sense?
Can you imagine how many players would benefit by the way if their teams treated
you know what would be
them
sick?
The same way?
You got to set up, like, an over-the-range hood here. Something strong enough and just... smoke some cigars, take it easy.
Okay, Brazil. Nice, we're trying to talk about Kawhi Leonard, man.
Okay, sorry, go on, man. You were saying?
So...
I digress.
So, Brazil, what are we talking about here? So...
How did I feel when Kawhi left? And I was like, yeah, kind of not really heartbroken, but not really like good for him at the same time. Man, I put myself...
But I was saying, can you imagine how many other players would benefit by the way teams treat Kawhi? Like, what about, like, Brandon Roy? What about, like Derrick Rose?
Oh, you're referring to load management.
Load management, man.
Yeah,
like, he trained the whole NBA. Like, he literally put the NBA on notice. I'm going to play this many games, and I'm going to dictate my own schedule, and you're going to oblige, and I'm going to keep you competitive. Can you imagine, like, if they did that with LeBron? If LeBron only had to play 50, 60 games a year and just show up for the playoffs?
I'm still trying to figure out if I have a problem with that. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. Like, I get the whole, like, tough talk. You always want to hear, like, this winner's mentality, Mamba mentality. You have Kobe's, like, anti-load management. Mike Jordan, anti-load management. But if you look at a guy like Michael Jordan, listen, although he killed it all season long, when he came in the playoffs, he was always a different type of animal. Like, I have to believe that a part of Michael Jordan, as competitive and as fiery as he was, that he wasn't putting it all on the line during regular season games. Because in the playoffs, you've seen him rise above.
72-10? They had the 72-10 season.
Yeah, it's still a team sport at the end of the day, man. Still a team sport at the end of the day.
But come on, man.
This isn't tennis.
Michael Jordan was fierce, man.
Yeah, but like, what I'm saying is, it was a men amongst boys situation where he was balling during the regular season, but you can't just go a level up without being able to have more in the tank. What I'm getting at. Like, if you're playing at 100%, there's no higher than that. You're putting that 100% of your energy into something, there's no better than that. But you see him significantly become an animal in the postseason. Playoff numbers,
Michael Jordan?
Out of control.
Yeah, and, okay.
But if you look at Kawhi, he did the same thing. Although, like, you know, I think he doesn't deserve to get, you know, all the accolades as a single contributor to winning the championship here in Toronto. He did do a lot. And if you look at his postseason numbers, it was Michael Jordan-esque. So he rose above.
So do you think if it was anybody else but
Kawhi,
we could still do that?
No, man. Because, no? you know what it is? He is...
Two-way.
He is what
the
I
best call... two-way player.
He is a servant leader. He's the type of player that you work harder because you see a guy doing it and he's not... doing it for himself, he just wants to win, he wants to do it for the team, and he knows how to get inspiration and motivate others that sometimes a coach can't even do from their players.
You're 100% right, you're
100%. And he doesn't bitch, he doesn't moan, he doesn't complain. People see that, they feed off of it, and I don't know, man. I think
But he
brought that mental edge.
Okay, I agree with you on that, but I would rather it be the way it is now, that we kept Masai, and we had Masai.
You think it was a choice between one or the other?
I don't, but what I'm saying is that, like, if we had to choose one, if we had the option to choose one,
you keep the guy who
I'd
made
take
it happen.
Masai over Kawhi.
Because he had the guts to make that trade in the first place.
And he has the guts to, like, look at that. Like, he signed the Siakam deal. That was, like, a crazy deal, right?
I'll be honest, I don't know how I felt about that.
And now you know how you felt.
I thought, I'm like, fuck, now here we go, man. Andrea Bargnani, we overpaid. fucking Hedo Turkoglu, we overpaid.
But now what do you think?
Man, he's living up to it. He's a really good player, man.
How good of a fuck?
I'm no scout, so, like, you know, it's different. I just see big numbers and I see... You know, a young kid who just learned how to play basketball when he was 16, 17 years old.
They're saying he might win the most improved player again, bro.
And honestly, I hope he keeps it up and I hope he does it. And for no other reason than he's developing like an animal.
He's lit. What about Van Vliet? Van Vliet is lit too, man.
Do you think he's a starting point guard?
100. At this point, what do you think we do with Lowry?
We give him a nice extension.
Whatever, but like if we
I think that was a loyalty discount. I think that was a loyalty contract, sorry. I think that was like this guy deserves to get paid for sticking around. And
that definitely was that, but it also was, if we go to the playoffs, like you're going to need Lowry. Mm-hmm. Like without Lowry, you remember?
Yeah, he's a bulldog.
What was it, game 6 of the NBA Finals when Lowry came out? And he just took over the game. I can't remember which game it was.
Yeah.
But there's that time where Lowry, like, he has that ability to just kind of take over a game and be like, you know what I mean? And you need that. Like, Van Vliet has that, but he doesn't have it like Lowry does yet. That pit bull mentality, like,
for sure,
you know, like going at it. So,
but he's good though. He's a patient player. He can toss the reuse. He's VanVleet's good, man. He's coming along very well.
But you know the Raptors are killing it this year, right?
I'm super impressed and proud of what they're doing.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Super proud.
You think we go deeper than the first round of the playoffs this year? I still think Masai needs to make one move.
What seed are they? Let's assume a seed if we're saying we go deeper than the first round.
I think we're second or third, man.
No. Where do you think we end this season? Second or third?
No, I think we end third or fourth. Because you know Boston's ripping shit up.
I'm still not believing Philly's the real deal. I think Milwaukee certainly.
What about
is.
Milwaukee?
Milwaukee's a fucking real deal, man.
Giannis 2021.
Man, they got both Antetokounmpos, man. Wait until they get the other one developed.
Yeah.
It's all over, man.
But Giannis, do you think there's any?
Do you think there's any like weight in gold in the rumors of Antetokounmpo considering Toronto?
I think he's gonna come to Toronto.
What if Masai is not here?
Masai's gonna be here, man. Masai's staying here.
I mean, what's the like?
Fucking trade the whole franchise away from.
But
Masai.
What's the carrot? What's the carrot on the stick that you dangle in front of Antetokounmpo? Like, how do you get that guy here? And to be honest, I love the fact that
get the guy here without him? We're still a fucking number three seed in the conference.
So you think we have to end up at least top three in the seeds?
No, I'm saying that we have. Like, we just did it with Kawhi. Now Kawhi left. We're one player short of a full team.
Him and
Milwaukee,
Siakam.
Milwaukee, they're depleting the fucking team every year. They took away that Brogdon. Remember that Brogdon guy?
Brogdon? He's gone?
Yeah, they don't have him no more.
Who does he play for?
I forgot, but they took him away.
He's
they're
a good
depleting
player.
That staff. Typical, like, you know what they did to Mahomes in the NFL?
Yeah.
So Mahomes has a wicked season. And then they go, yo, we don't need all these tools on offense. He can do it with scrubs. What do you think DeMarcus Robinson and that other fucking Hardman?
Mecole Hardman.
Where did they come from, man?
Yeah.
They're trash, right? Well, maybe they're good. Who knows? But what I'm saying is they came from nowhere. So they do the same with Giannis. They go, yo, this guy doesn't need anybody. So they deplete the staff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, really, the guy's by himself. What's the carrot we dangle in front of him? The carrot we dangle in front of him, we got Masai. Masai's going to load you up with all the tools you need around you. Giants of Africa, all that. You know what I'm saying? Giants of Africa, right?
Yeah, him, the Congolese, jeez. The Cambodia,
that's
the Cameroon.
You know what I'm saying?
Holy shit, man.
Come down.
Antetokounmpo has Nigerian ancestry.
Straight up. Hit up Mona during the game up and hit up Mona after and fucking go out and fucking do your thing.
Yo, Antetokounmpo and Siakam, they both have a similar playing style. Tall, slender, lanky, like, frames.
Like, Siakam is not.
Yeah.
Antetokounmpo, man. That guy can just fucking take over a game, man. Yeah, Siakam can too. Just different players.
I still want to see Antetokounmpo develop a shot, though, man.
Yeah, okay, but if you put the Siakam's
got a shot going.
You put the right tools. Yeah, he does. You put the right tools around him, though, he doesn't need anything. He came to the semis last year with nobody. Like Middleton and Brogdon, basically. Bledsoe's like, oh my goodness. And I can't even believe Bledsoe's on that. Bledsoe's trash, man. Like, missing layups and shit like that, right? But, like, you bring him to Toronto, he's got everything. You mean to tell me that you'd rather play in Milwaukee over Toronto?
If you're comparing the cities, no.
Come
but
on. Even city-wise, man. Toronto's lit. Toronto's a lit place to play.
Yeah, Toronto is. And
Toronto's probably top 10 place to play in the NBA.
You know what it is? I firmly believe that you need to come from a humble background to be able to play for the Toronto Raptors. And I say that because you usually have these Americans that grow up in like these NCAA environments, and they come from these... it's just very Americanized. It's very like patriotic in the sense that, you know, you don't want to leave there and go play, let alone in another country. But your Giannis comes from very humble beginnings, and I think that plays in our favor a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
In terms of being able to get someone here and
definitely right.
You know what I mean? Like that's someone who's willing to adapt to, you know, sometimes not a. Yeah, exactly. Like it's not a comfort zone situation. He's already been out of his comfort zone his entire career.
Yeah.
Which is what I think it takes to play in Toronto. DeMar DeRozan, same thing. He was absolutely loyal to the game, very grateful, very modest, very humble about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be re-signing contracts if he wanted to go back to the States, man. I listened to The Shop once, this interview, where how DeMar DeRozan said he felt. Did you watch this?
Yeah, a little bit. The LeBron one, right?
Yeah, and he was talking about, like, how did you feel about it? He was like, man, like, I already suffer from things like depression. And he's like, man, I was, like, really, really, like... I didn't talk to nobody. He's like, for like 2 weeks straight, I didn't talk to nobody.
He was on vacay, right?
He's like, I'm on vacation. I didn't talk to nobody. He was the first person I talked to was Greg Popovich when we got back. And he kind of made me feel a little bit more comfortable. That was classic Pop. Yo, Pop wouldn't fuck that up. And he just made him feel right at home, sort of thing. But obviously, he was like a. I can see why that's a bit traumatizing, man. You feel like you give it all to an organization. But one of the best things he said about his experience in Toronto was, he goes, "I love the fact that when I came here, I was like one of the only rookies. I didn't really have other rookies. So what did I did? I just watched all these seniors and these vets playing and how professional they were. And all they did was work out in the gym." And he goes, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what he does. I'm going to do what he does. That guy, that guy, that guy." Whereas, like, you know, some rookies on a team, when there's a ton of rookies, you're playing Fortnite together. You're playing a bunch of games. You're not really being a professional. You're still enjoying your adolescence.
That's probably what's happening in Minnesota, right? Like,
I think that's also what's happening to Giannis.
No. Giannis and them are taking it serious.
Oh, that's what I meant. He's taking it seriously like DeMar would. But you're saying Minnesota is in the childhood phase.
100%. Like Wiggins, Cat.
Cat?
Even when they had that other guy. Remember that other guy that won the dunk competition? I forgot his name. That young guy that went to Chicago. I forgot his name, that light-skinned guy.
Are you surprised that Jimmy Butler bounced around as much as he did?
I can't understand Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, like, that guy perplexes me, Jimmy Butler, all the way around. Jimmy Butler makes no sense to me. Like, that whole move to Miami, he's like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing?
I think that was just a personal decision, purely.
At one time, it's like you want to be competitive. Another time, you don't want to be competitive. Like, you're going to, like, Minnesota to be, like, stack them up and try to, like, stack the deck a little bit.
But he got traded there. He didn't ask for a trade. He got traded there. And then Philly, he got traded there. These aren't just, like, decisions he's making by himself.
Yeah, but he had the years with remember, Derrick Rose.
I'll be honest, I would love to have Jimmy fucking Butler, yo. This guy's a competitor, man.
Yeah, but Jimmy's a little bitch.
Honestly, he's, I think, so undervalued as a player.
He is, but then... I think mentally something's up with him. And the same way...
What fucking psychoanalysis did you just do?
Because he's bounced around. He's too good to bounce around like that, man.
Yeah, maybe... I don't know what it is.
Even Chris Paul. Like, same sort of, like...
I don't like Chris Paul, man. I'm not even talking about that guy on your podcast. That is not happening.
I tell you one more thing. Here's my prediction, too.
Chris Paul's
Watch out for Harden and Westbrook, man. They are trouble together. Trust me.
I like
right
that
now. Maybe they gel. Like they're not gelling right, but like they're coming around. Give them the full season. Watch them in the playoffs. Those two are gonna do some damage, man.
I think so too.
Trust me. And the West is stacked this year.
By the way, Harden is like next to Steph Curry. Those two are the two biggest pioneers in modern day basketball. They're changing the game.
Straight up. So the Raptors. What do you think? Where do you think we end up?
Man, I'm going to be conservative, a little modest, but I'm going to give them a little bit of credit. I think they're second seed, third seed.
I think we go third or fourth, and I think we need to make just a little transaction. Masai needs to give us a little transaction to just put us...
I have no idea what our contract situation looks like, what our bankroll looks like, but if you had to give up a player, who do you give up to acquire someone of equal or higher value? Alex, I don't know.
Jefferson, man.
Who?
We got that guy Hollis Jefferson.
We just signed
Gasol,
him.
Maybe if you can, if somebody will take his contract.
Nah, Mark's old boy. I think he stays, man. Maybe Serge. I don't know.
You need those guys, man. You have nobody down low, to be honest, man.
The thing is, though, they're not going to give you like future value. Like,
I think you need a point guard. I think you need like small forward point guard sort of thing popping. That's what I think you need.
So you think we have to pretty much risk
like
it all?
Like a Butler guy, man. Like a Kawhi. Like, that's exactly what we need. To be honest, man. We need that position. Bring back DeMar, man. Fucking bring back DeMar.
Wow.
Who cares?
What are the odds?
DeMar, man. Get over it, man. Shit happens, right? If we didn't win the championship, I could understand being butthurt. We won the championship, dog.
What a salty feeling, eh? The year you go, your team does it, and you put it all on the line, man.
You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy, man.
Bring back JV. Fuck it, man. Jonas Valanciunas.
Where's Bargnani, bro? We need Bargnani back, man. Let's run it back. Right. Start from the beginning. Hedo Turkoglu, man. Let's give that guy another big-ass contract for a whole lot of nothing.
Well, this was good for Sean G Sports and Real Estate, episode 1. this is the sports version, right?
Yeah.
Let's get this crack-a-lacking a little bit more.
For sure,
and,
man.
And we talk to you guys soon.